I am much torn as to what to say to you. I must confess that I often find myself in the same place as the Lord Jesus, who said, I have yet many things to say unto you. But I feel that this afternoon the Lord would have us look together into the great truth of the temple and its relationship to the tabernacle as it is in the scriptures. And if you will open your book with me, first of all, to the prophecy of Ezekiel, I want to take a biblical idea and follow it through. In the 40th chapter of Ezekiel, in the 5th and 20th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after that the city was smitten, in the selfsame day, the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me thither. In the visions of God brought he me into the land of Israel, and set me upon a very high mountain, by which was as the frame of a city on the south. And he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, with a line of flax in his hand, and a measuring reed, and he stood in the gate. The man said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and set thine heart upon all that I shall show thee, for to the intent that I might show them unto thee, art thou brought hither. Declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel. And behold, a wall on the outside of the house, round about. And in the man's hand, a measuring reed of 6 cubits long, by the cubit and an hand breadth. So he measured the breadth of the building, one reed, and the height, one reed. Now, I don't want to read through the rest of this great account, but at your leisure, if you will read on, you will find that though we are told that he sees from the high mountain in the visions of God, verse 2, the frame of a city, and he's brought to that city, verse 3, and he starts to measure, at least the man does. When you read on, you will find that what he is measuring is a house. And you will come to the conclusion, and it's a spiritual principle, and may God lay it hard upon us, for you will remember that Ezekiel was told that it was to declare all that he saw that he was brought there. Hallelujah. And you will come to this conclusion that the city and the house and the temple are one. You may read it through at your leisure. the city and the house and the temple are one. I wonder if I need jog your memory with the facts that are related by the Revelator, John the Divine, on the Isle of Patmos, in the last two chapters of the Bible, in the book of the Revelation, that there this man, John, caught away also in the visions of God. That is what God sees. Notice, not visions from God, though they were from God, but of God, the thing that God sees. Amen. And happy is the man who, if he hath a vision, seeth what God sees, and doesn't prophesy the visions of his own heart. That has been the downfall of every visionary and prophet since the foundation of the world, who has not seen the visions of God. It's been the downfall of God's people, too, who've been misled by them, whether in this age or a former or yet a coming one. The visions of God. I don't want to stop and comment on the great tragedy, the difference between visionaries and prophets. But I do want us to see, beloved, that John the Divine also saw the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him, and he showed it to John. He saw the visions of Jesus. You understand? He didn't see the visions of John about Jesus. He saw the visions of Jesus from Jesus, about Jesus, through Jesus. That's right. An eternity. A very, very different thing. I think all our visionaries ought to be tested on this. It's very biblical. All right. Now then, beloved, if you compare these two visions, you will find that John also was taken up into an exceedingly high mountain. And John also saw the city. But he did not see the frame, he saw the fullness. That's right. That which has yet a future position for Israel on the earth has indeed already, before it was ever planned for Israel, being in the heart of God for his church, far more important than what God had for Israel. For Israel was only patterned upon it, as we shall see. Oh, beloved, this great fullness of revelation and truth hidden in the heart of God, revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets, Paul, John, and so on, given for us sacredly for all time in the glorious book. In this, beloved, lies a truth that you and I need to understand, and understand well. For in the heart of God, spiritually, this has always been, that the city and the house and the temple, and glory be to God, beyond that, the bride is one. Amen. The city, the house, the temple, and the bride, I want to add one more word, the tabernacle, is one. Now, we won't be able to study out all these lines this afternoon. How can a man or a company of men study out in an afternoon what God doth lay into the spirit of a man from himself? But time will suffice us to see one or two things. That, beloved, the whole idea of cities and temples and houses and brides In fact, everything that is originally came from the heart of God. God had a wonderful plan. And if we may turn to the last two chapters in the Bible, we can see this wonderful truth. Our hearts need to lay hold of it. That John says in 21, he sees the new heaven and the new earth. Now this is beyond anything called millennial or anything like that. He sees the new heaven and the new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now listen to what he hears. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. There are going to be men on the new earth, and God is going to dwell among them in his tabernacle, concerning which originally the picture was given to Moses. He said, in Exodus 25 you'll find it, speak to the children of Israel, that may bring me all these materials, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. And he was going to dwell among men in his great tabernacle. Amen. Now, New Jerusalem is the tabernacle wherein God dwells amongst men in the new creation. It's the city and it's the tabernacle. What a precious and glorious truth. You remember that the psalmist reminds us in one of his marvelous psalms that in the heavens God has set a tabernacle for the sun. That's right, for the sun to dwell in. In this creation, the S-U-N, of course. Amen. And praise God, the heavenly city, he set a tabernacle in the heavens, glory, for the great Father and the Son, S-O-N, and it's coming down from God, out of heavens, it's heavenly Jerusalem, and therein God is going to dwell among the nations that are saved, as distinct from those that make up the tabernacle, temple, bridal city in the new creation. Nations of them saved on the new earth, it says so, of course, if you look lower down in verse 24, 25, 26, that same chapter. I don't want to dwell on that now. Nations of saved people, nations and nations of them, but the city is distinct from them. And in it God reigns over these people who shall be saved from a lost eternity. And what a wonderful, wonderful city this is, beloved. He sees it coming down, if you like. Here you've got your great and high mountain in verse 10, in which John is set. He sees the wonderful substance of the city, tall, sheer gold. Ezekiel never got a glimpse of this. He but saw framework and then a house in vision. And he didn't understand that he was seeing a vision of Father's house. You remember that Jesus, when he was on earth, said, you've made my Father's house a den of thieves. and he was talking to, about the temple, Father's house. You will also remember in John chapter 14 that he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He was talking about New Jerusalem, the city. That's what he was talking about, the great temple city. What a wonderful thing. Many abiding places. As we've reminded ourselves before, beloved, it's not so important for us to know where we're going to abide for eternity, but where God is going to abide. That's what Jesus came for. For a place for God to dwell in. More about that tonight, if God will allow us to go along that line. We're all concerned about where we're going to live for eternity. The most important thing is where God's going to live. Far more important than where we're going to live. Gospel preachers are so taken up about where we're going to live. Amen. But oh, beloved, Father's house is this great, great city. And as you look down, he says in verse 22 that he didn't see any inner temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of the tabernacle city. Alright? I hope I'm not confusing you. I had a great shock the other day. Oh, yesterday it was. Our good sister that's here told me about some people who'd listened to a tape that I'd preached, and I think I'd preached about an hour and a half, and they said it was far too intellectual for them. Well, our sister did defend me by saying I had gone to speak to a graduate's fellowship where the tape was recorded. But I thought I was talking in utter simplicity. You know, it's always like this, beloved. Have I ever told you the story of a man that came up from the south of England when some of us were in Bradford, and he went up to a big camp on the east coast. Went up to a big camp on the east coast, and on his way down, he thought he'd have a look in this place in Bradford where some of us were. So he stopped overnight. And he came to the church and he stayed all day next day. And when he went back to where he came from, where there were some friends of mine, I heard it that he said, well, of course he's got something, but he's talking over the heads of the people. Alas, alas, he ought to have said he was talking over mine. Our young people understood it up there. That's the tragedy. Mm-hmm. Our young people understood it. It's supposed to be over their heads. Well, this temple, this city comes down from overhead, beloved. Glory, if you don't look up above your own heads and see beyond your own noses, wherever shall we be? That's what it's in the Bible for. Did not the angel, was not Ezekiel told, now you're brought here to declare it to Israel, what you see. Here then, beloved, is the work of the visionary, who sees the visions of God. Amen. That he may declare unto Israel, whether it be earthly or whether it be spiritual Israel, at the moment we won't mind. But here is the true function of a man of God. And he says, there's no temple in the tabernacle. That's right. That's right. No temple in the tabernacle, in the city, which is the tabernacle city, wherein God dwells amongst men. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. You know, this is a very, very wonderful thing, beloved. Those of us who were reading in Hebrews last evening together, let's go back there and read this same wonderful 12th chapter of the Hebrew letter. You know, although we like to think we have Pentecostal experience, you won't get onto me because I don't preach to you about being baptized in the Spirit every time I stand up, will it? In Hebrews chapter 12, there's something far beyond that. That's but a gateway into these things that we're talking about. And in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, we read about we are come. Let's read it again, verse 22. We are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn ones, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now, is there anything that strikes you as peculiar about that as we read it? There ought to be something. I mustn't scold you if you don't see it, because I told you yesterday I live with these spirits of just men made perfect. I live in New Jerusalem most of my time. Well, I do all the time, scripture, but I mean even in thought. What is it that strikes you peculiar about that? Well, this is why we read the Revelation section first, to give you the clue. Remember what I remarked, that there was no temple in the tabernacle city. And we've already come. And what is it we find there? No temple. Where's the blood? Nobody should see the blood. The sprinkled blood, by earthly standard, it should be away in a temple somewhere, behind curtains. And here's the clue straight away. It isn't hidden away. It's there. We've come for it. Glory! It's all here. You see, this is the great temple city. This is the place where there's no veil from whence Jesus came out. This is the place where all was open. This is the place where everybody of the spirits of just men made perfect could go right in there. Hallelujah. The blood was available and free. Precious, holy, holiest and most precious thing that God could lay his hands on. The sacred blood guarded in the veins of God made manifest on the flesh, having the life of God in it. Amen. Shed for us. And yet there it is, all open. All open. Isn't it a marvelous thing, beloved? Isn't it? Jesus is there, mediating the new covenant. Now you ought to take a series of comparative studies in around this great truth of New Jerusalem and see the building of it, build up of it. And one of these times I might talk to you about it and see whether I've got it right. It's here, beloved, for you understand your liberty in this great covenant. Your home, you see, we're already there. This is what Jesus said, I will that they be with me where I am, Father, that they may behold my glory. Thou gavest me before the world was, and we're there in spirit. We should be beholding that glory, beloved, albeit in a glass, beholding the glory of the Lord. There it is, it's all revealed in Scripture. Amen. That's right. What a wonderful thing this is. Now, beloved, in this wonderful concept and revelation that God has given us, we're to understand something. And if we turn back again into the Old Testament, we'll get this quite clearly in 2 Chronicles and chapter 6. Chapter 5, I beg your pardon. Where Solomon has built the temple. 2 Chronicles 5, or 1 Kings 8 will do you, almost parallel there. Parallel accounts, or either accounts of the same event. Solomon, in verse 2, assembled the elders of Israel, And all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto Jerusalem, to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Wherefore all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast which was in the seventh month, and all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark, and they brought up the ark, now listen, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels, and they took the tabernacle into the temple, and the tabernacle was swallowed up in the temple. The transient gave place to the permanent. The movable gave away to the fixture. Yes, that's right. What a wonderful thing. In the picture then of it, the earthly gave away to the eternal. Gave way to the eternal. This is the idea that the Lord is saying to us. Now, beloved, here then is this that God wants us to understand. And if you turn with me to John's Gospel and the first chapter, you will read in verse 14 that the Word, chapter 1, verse 14, was made flesh and tabernacle among us. That's your word. When Jesus was in an earthly body like ours, he was God saying, make me a tent, make me a tabernacle, I want to come down and live among my people. Jesus came down here and he tabernacled among us. Exact word, Jesus in a tent, in a tabernacle. And of course, he only stayed here for just 3 decades or so, that's all. And then he went back, praise God. And the tabernacle was taken up into the temple. Changed, if you like. They saw that same glorious body which was laid in the tomb. Amen. This is one of the great points of the Ascension story. You may not have seen it in this connection before, but nevertheless it's true. They actually witnessed the taking up of the tabernacle into the temple. Change from the tabernacle to the temple state. In Bible picture form. And they laid that body in the tomb. And he said, you destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it again. The temple tabernacled amongst them. Oh yes. What does it mean by temple? Well, you see, that word temple is the Greek word which means the inner temple, the place where God always lived. There. He always lives in that inner place. You see? Praise his glorious name. Where the blood was sprinkled, that's the actual place where he lived. He had an outer court to his house. He had servants called priests. He had a major domo or a chief servant called a high priest. Something like this. The steward of his house, sort of thing. You may not have thought of it in this language before, but this is the whole general idea. But he always himself lived right there. Over the mercy seat, that was his throne, where the blood was sprinkled. He, as it were, stayed there. What a tremendous thing. And so the Lord Jesus came down here, that wonderful inner temple of God. And the wonderful truth, he tabernacled among us. And then laid in the tomb after shedding his own blood. What a glorious, glorious fulfillment of it all. Rose from the dead, Praise his wonderful name. And you know, beloved, we're going to look, let's have a look at the Philippian letter. And in the Philippian letter, we read this glorious truth in the third. And in the 20th verse, it says this: our citizenship, that's your word, our citizenship is in heaven. I don't live in the city of Exeter, I wouldn't. It's not good enough. My citizenship belongs to heaven. Hallelujah. That's where I'm registered. Yeah, hallelujah. I'm registered in heaven. And I'm, from whence also, I'm looking for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change the body of our humiliation, vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, the body of his glory. And we're one day going to be caught up into this great temple city, aren't we? Is this right? This is what it's all about. I will come in and receive you unto myself, not unto a nice mansion in the new earth with hot and cold water, that sort of thing. I'm going to receive you unto myself. What a tremendous thing is this, beloved. Our citizenship is in heaven. We've already come to this glorious city. Oh, beloved. Here then is the wonderful picture. That man of old, he had to measure with a line of flax. That's all he had. That's all right for earthly Israel. But when John sees the city measured, it's a golden reed. No lines of flax here. A golden reed to measure. Now then, my beloved brothers and sisters, when that man ran his rule over that city, he ran his rule over you. For you and I comprise it. Yeah, that's right. You can see where the apostles are. They're in the foundation, the apostles of the Lamb. They're in the foundations of the wall. Their names are written there. I don't know where your name is. Do you know where you are? Place belonging me, because I'm belonging God, and he is indwelling me, and I am indwelling him, and God is going to live amongst his people on the new earth in me. Now, beloved, I must confess to you that I have no hopes of that, and no hopes for anyone else attaining this position, unless God dwells among the people on this earth in them and in me also. Now, this is what it's all about. God dwelt in the tabernacle as well as in the temple. On the earth. And it was a movable thing, you know. God moved all around. Amen. He wanted to dwell here, he wanted to live there, he wanted to live there, he wanted to live here. That's right. That's the way God moved. And this is how the Lord wants us to, beloved. And what a precious thing this is, that you will know that the temple was built on Mount Offers. Where was the temple built?
Moriah.
The temple was built on Mount Moriah, the ancient place of sacrifice of the Father and the Son, Abraham and Isaac. Yeah, that's right. Where was David's tabernacle? Now that's Moriah. Blessing for the Lord. Zion. Now we've come to Mount Zion. That's where we've come. Alright. Glory. You see? What the great and glorious truth here is tonight. You see, David's tabernacle was a tabernacle of praise. There was never any blood offering in David's tabernacle. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. Never any blood offering in David's tabernacle. Now, you'll have to do some searching of the Bible for this. It was a tabernacle where only praise ascended. We're back where we were last night about the sacrifice of praise. It was there that he ordained the sons of Asaph. It was there that he ordained the great teams. You may search this out in your Bible. It'll be a good study for you. Amen. And we've come to Mount Zion. Hallelujah. We've come there, with the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. He's dwelling there with his Father. And oh, beloved, this is a city of utmost love. It's a city of utmost love because it's a city of utmost openness. No fears there. The gates are never shut day nor night. Some people arrived here this morning about 5 o'clock and found our gates were not wide open. They weren't locked. That's right. Amen. And the Lord lives in this place, beloved, and we eternally live here. I don't know anything so destructive of safe abiding as fear. And I don't know anything more calculated to provide fear than absence of perfect love. Where love is perfect, there cannot be any fear. Where it's perfect, there can't be any fear whatsoever. And this is perfect love. Father with the Lamb in his bosom. There it is. For everybody to see. Perfect love. Lord, we've waited to see this. We've worshipped afar off. Lord, we've admired to find this day. We're going to see him. Amen. And what a glorious thing it is, and I say to you, beloved, that you'll come closest to perfect love the more clearly and nearly your eyes see this in the inner man. This is the vision of God. This is the vision he gave to Jesus Christ. This is the revelation. This is the thing that was held secret. All other temples, all other nations, all other earths and heavens and all things were for this. To somehow, in some measure, show this. All pains and significance and mean but very little, and the greatest use of this earth is this, that on it once trod the Son of God, and on its one little hillock fell his precious blood, and on it there's an empty tomb. That's its greatest use. But from it he may redeem a people unto himself. And build himself in the Spirit a house, a Father's house, holy and eternal temple. Praise God. Yes. And what a glorious place this is. Into it he incorporates all the first pure, innocent, glorious ideas of primitive creation. For there's the tree of life. There's the river of the water of life. There are the fruits that we may eat. Amen. And it's all here, beloved, in this wonderful crystal city. It's a see-through city. You can't get in there and hide anything that's wrong. You can see through it. It's a see-through city. It's as clear as glass. So that everybody can see the Lamb. You've got to be able to be seen through to be in that city. Right through. Yeah. Then nobody obstructs the vision of the Lamb in the Father's bosom. Nobody gets in anybody else's way. Nobody can obscure the view. You and I should be like, I hope you're not obscuring the view of the God Almighty of the Lamb to me. Do I see God through you? Part of God's crystal clear glory. Are you? Got any gates shut? Who are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Got any foundations under you? You know, beloved, I know I'm built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. I'm in their same experience. Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. See, up there, beloved. Wonderful. It is a precious and glorious thing. And so we see, beloved, that the city is a city of priests and of kings. And they live and they reign 1,000 years. Eons upon eons. Eternity. Isn't it a marvellous thing that in one consecrated death and resurrection and by the coming of the Holy Ghost, God can do something in a moment of time and continue it through the rest of time's measurements of eternity while I'm on this earth and perfect me to live with him for eternity. Yeah. Isn't it a wonderful thing? Isn't it a wonderful thing? In a moment of time, a man may receive into his heart this. Oh, beloved, whom have I on earth below? Thee and only thee I know. Whom have I in heaven but thee? Thou art all in all to me. Now this is that which the Lord is revealing unto us in these days, beloved. You're in a tabernacle on this earth, but it's got to be just as holy as the temple. The temple was no holier than the tabernacle. Not a bit. When the tabernacle was inaugurated, when God came, fire came, consumed on the altar, that's what happened at the temple. Say same things, beloved. And I know by the grace of God, I know by every burning thing within me, I know by every predisposing of my spirit, I know by every drawing of my mind, I know by every ounce of the energy of the Holy Ghost within me, that by his power and through that blood, that eternal holiness and glory can be put into me, so that if all in a moment I were transfigured, I could shine like the shining one. That's what is coming, that's what we're heading for, that moment of transfiguration. Hallelujah. There's a hymn in this book about taking your flight from here to Zion's Mount, is it? Yeah. Oh, we might sing that before we're through. We'll see what the time is. Oh, the Lord is wanting to do this in each one of us, beloved. He's wanting to bring us, and here's the wonder of it, by that same name and power and blood and all such things as God himself is and has supplied, having provided through his glorious Son this wondrous and total salvation. There is nothing, beloved, unto which we are cannot rise by his grace. But let a man believe it. But let a man believe it, and a woman also, and he shall have it. When I think about these things, I don't wonder, old Paul says, I forget those things. I mean, he only wrote that once. He's forgotten about it so completely. He only wrote it once. He wrote lots of things over and over again, more or less. Not in exact the same words. He only said that once. He's so completely forgotten. He said, I forget all that. He was so taken up with the glory of the revelation. He'd seen it, you know. He was in no doubts about it. He was not in two minds. He wasn't part faith and part doubt. He wasn't half earth and half heaven, praise God. He was all for God. Why, he said. Christ lives in me, he said. That is right, isn't it? Didn't he say, for me? For me? To live? Well, it's Christ. That's astounding, isn't it? If it wasn't written in the Bible, you wouldn't believe it, would you? For me, he said. Living, is it living you're talking about? Well, that's Christ. That's all life was to Paul. Christ. Christ was life to Paul. Except that he wasn't married, he went through the same things that lots of us go through. We all go through, anyway. It's Christ, he said, life to me. Oh, isn't this precious, beloved? You see, the great idea of God is that you and I should understand what he's after. In this same book of the Revelation, we read in the 15th chapter, it's wonderful, this. He sees a sea of glass and all sorts of things, and people singing songs, get verse 3, and in verse 4, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy. For all nations should come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that, I look, and behold,
the temple of the tabernacle. There it is. The temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. Yes. There's a tabernacle and a temple. Paul, in the visions of God, saw them open. Praise God. This is a marvelous thing. You know, beloved? In heaven, there's a great system of worship going on. There's a great priesthood in heaven. I belong to it. Melchizedek, the high priest, he came down to earth. Melchizedek came down here. Forever Aaron was thought of, except in the mind of God. Before Moses was ever thought of, except in the mind of God. This is the original priesthood. Melchizedek, he comes down here. It is a marvelous thing. And I've been ordained after the order of Melchizedek. He's the king of righteousness and the king of peace. He said, I'm a priest of righteousness and a priest of peace. Are you? Well, let me tell you, you are, if you didn't know, if you're really one of these people. And it's the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony. Who? The testimony. You know what a testimony is, don't you? It's something that a person will give, either on oath or voluntarily, and it's life. It's actual fact, a testimony. It isn't a fairy story. It isn't something you make up from reading a book. It isn't something you put together even from reading the book of books. Because they haven't got a Bible in heaven. You know it's all going to be burnt up, don't you? You've got the original in heaven. You won't need a Bible in heaven. You mustn't ever idolize that Bible. It's all going to be burnt up in the general fires. Won't need it anymore. Marvellous, isn't it? It's going to be marvellous. All the books are all going to be burned up. I shan't half be glad. I mean about all the books. I'm very glad about this one. On the earth. And it's the testimony of God. Testimony in heaven. Now then, my beloved brothers and sisters, it's what God is testifying in heaven. God is going to be justified before the eyes of all the heavenly creatures. Amen. Everything he says in his eternal testimony is all going to be worked out. You know what he tells me in his eternal testimony? Do you know what he tells me? That I'm going to be married. The bride of city. That's his testimony. He sees the bride married, wedded, united. Glory. Yes. That's the great city. It's the city of the truest union that ever and eternally was. Union between God Almighty and the Lamb. The union between God Almighty and the Lamb and his people. His real people, the bone of his bone, coming out of the blood of his blood, if you like, with the body of his body. Yes. Flesh of his flesh. That I might have flesh that Jesus himself would not disdain to own or pass by if he was choose to come and live in a body again. Amen. So pure can that be, and so right by his grace. This is a complete salvation. Oh, that my whole spirit, soul, and body in one unified whole should attest to and glorify that precious Jesus and the perfection of that Calvary and the glory of that blessed Spirit come down in honor of that sacrifice. Thou hast in honor of thy Son the gift of unspeakable Spirit. Yes, Lord. Of grace and power and love. That's right. Do you know who I'm quoting? And this is the tremendous thing, beloved. We've been brought up into this. It's what every time you see a bride and a bridegroom, this is what it speaks of. It should testify. It's a picture. So you can look up into the visions of God that God saw. Such a perfect union. Such a sublime affinity. Do you know what the Hebrew of the bridegroom is? Do you know what the Hebrew word means? One that maketh affinity. Yes, you check it out. Take Young, Strong, or any lexicon. One that maketh affinity. Seals in the heart of God. Just the chap that's getting married now to us. But in God's heart, and he chose the word and inscribed it. One that maketh affinity. Affinity, mark you. Affinity, not just a union. Affinity. Affinity with God. That's what he's done. It's right. He's done it with me. I know this is right. I say that everything in us cries this out unto God. It matches his testimony. What God says there in heaven, I know that dreadful things will yet have to be done. Horrors and bloods and fires and smokes and vapors and destructions and seas of blood. I know it will all have to take place on this earth yet in apocalyptic judgments. And worthy is the earth to receive it that hath so dastardly slain the Son of God. Despite his great pity and love toward mankind, I do not glory in it, but I know it right when it cometh. But this I see, that there's a city coming. Amen. And we pass through all things. We see him. That's the testimony. This is that. God started out from here. He's going to accomplish it. To be in love with Jesus. Find affinity in him. Rightness. You know what affinity is, don't you? It's more than a union. It's a joining in all the exquisite sensibilities of human personality that God first developed from himself onto this earth. It's a satisfying of my ethos. It's a bringing in of all that I'm capable of yearning for and wanting to be, and all that I am expressed as was a man. All that my manhood goes after, not merely on the point of the man as sex, but man as species and as an individual too. Affinity tastes exactly the same. Everything. Oh, glory. But how can God accommodate it himself to the taste of every man? He doesn't. He accommodates every man to the taste of himself. That's right. This is that power that has come down from on high. This is that glorious spirit. This is it, to eliminate things that are not of God, to make me able now to pass through all the crystalline clearness and the glowing gold of New Jerusalem's streets and walls and abodes in my Father's house and many above. He's going to live in us all. We're all going to be, as it were, cells in that great body. He's going to live in us all. All of the body alive and a replica of himself. Forever. And we're going to be so joined that we won't have any little quirks and things like that. Say, oh, I'm glad he lives over the other side of the street. I never could get on with him on earth. Ah, my beloved brother, sister, you've got to love me. You've got to take me as I am. And I'll take you as you are. You've got to fit into me and I into you. All the building is fitly framed together.
Yeah,
that's right. Glory. Yeah, it's not going to be anything in you that I can't live with. Nothing in me that you can't live with. If there is, don't come with a big hammer and a chisel to knock it off with you. If there's something in me, pray about yourself, it may be you that's wrong. Maybe. I wouldn't say it was, but it may be. That's what I've discovered. And that's the usefulness of recognizing unassimilable points in some other man. It's pointed out to me that it's me that's been wrong. But that's the use of it. Hallelujah. I belong to the city. The tabernacle's going to be taken home. I'm going to have a body of glory like his body of glory. I'm going to dwell there with all the true bridal lovers. If you've got a love like a bride, man, I'll know it, you know. I know a bride's love, though I never was one myself, in physically, I mean, naturally. But, beloved, we're all turned into these by the love and grace and power of God. And when Jesus came down on this earth, he came with a bridegroom. Seeking his bride. Yes. When he came down on the earth, he turned it into a bridal chamber from whence the bride came forth. And he called his disciples children of the bride chamber while he was on earth. Then when he went back up, they became the nucleus of the bride. They had a promotion. Well, you can read it all for yourself, it's all in the Bible. It's all there. Children of the bride chamber, they weren't the bride, but they got there to change. No, John Baptist said he was the friend of the bridegroom. He says, that's all right, he's the lamb, follow him. It was all so marvellous. And this is that city. I want to tell you, beloved, that this is a city of exquisite love. That's what it is. It's a city of absolute abandoned personality. Yesterday, I picked up Oswald Chambers. I don't read him regularly every day now. There was a time when I did. My wife and I read Oswald Chambers daily for I don't know how many years. We don't read him now. Not because we got beyond him, but I think because we fairly well assimilated him. But I picked him up yesterday and I read a portion somewhere about December. I cheated. I read a page which spoke of individuality and a page which said personality. You find them. I think they're about December 14th or 15th, and then don't think you've got a Christmas box just around the corner or something like that. But here's the glorious theme that I mean. He makes this point there, and how true it is, that that is not love that can contain itself. He doesn't put it in this language. He's has a better use of English than I. But he speaks, beloved, of that which can be affection, but personality. It really released his absolute love. Flowing out. Unrestrained and unrestrainable. It's a matter of being carried beyond himself. And this, beloved, is what Jesus wants. I think you'll bear him witness that this is God. Carried beyond himself. Certainly out of heaven. Certainly down on this earth. Certainly going down to the gates of hell. Certainly going and doing all these tremendous things, beloved. Carried beyond himself. Jesus. Loving. Tender, passionate God, so much so that we could ask no other for a God because of his love and his blood. Oh, hallelujah. Now then, beloved, all right, a city is full of people like this. It's going to be worth living, isn't it? And I tell you what to do. Because God has raised up the visionaries with the true visions of God to give us the revelation, go with John and sit on that mountain. Go with John and sit on that mountain. Sit there a long time. See the city, say, that's me. Well, of course, I and millions more like me, but nevertheless, it is I. Live there. No shades there, only one ghost there, it's the Holy Ghost. No fear there, no devils there, no dogs there, no sorcerers there, no witchcraft there. If you live there, they're about witches. No sorcerers there, no wizards there, no black magic workers there. Nothing there. Where do you live? You should be living beyond their reach.
Glory.
Satan got into paradise. Satan got everybody. He won't get there. You
say, ah, well, ultimately, of course, if you sort of cast into the pit before you get the revelation of that, that's beyond it. No, it's before it. That's where you've gone wrong. God started from that. Everybody who starts out to do anything, start with the blueprint, that's it. Mm-hmm. What you're thinking of, that's where it starts. You don't look that way for eternity, a New Jerusalem, you look that way. That's where it all began. Worked out of the Jerusalem on a temple, on a tabernacle, on a Jesus coming down to earth. We are tabernacles on earth, going back to heaven. We go back, glory. That's why I've been born from above, you see. I've been born from there. I came down from there when I was born again. Mm-hmm. When I was born first time, I came up from there. You're from beneath. Mm-hmm. I'm from above, he said. I was born down onto this earth from there. Mm-hmm. In my new birth.
Yeah.
All right.
She's
my mother, that holy Jerusalem.
Yeah.
That's where I was born. what a change took place inside this clay. Eh? What a marvelous thing. God brought me into line with this eternity. I don't understand it. But I believe it.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I could stop and talk to you all day about this. But I think it's time we finish.